Hey, I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. So happy to be here. My heart's pounding like it does every time before I speak, no matter where I am. Step one, we're powerless over alcohol, and what that means to me and what I learned is that, you know, I could never have any kind of alcohol in my body without having reactions. In the big book they say it's allergic reaction, you know, of the mind, physical and mental manifestation. And so if I pick up a drink, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know. And it's that craving, you know, for more and more and more, and I can't stop that and I have no control. And I didn't know that. So, you know, so finding that out, you know, was great because I was like, okay, so if we have like, if we find out that there's a problem, there's got to be a solution, you know, and that's what I was grateful for. Of course, when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I started going through the steps, I had no idea about anything. I kind of just went along with the flow, and eventually, you know, more things were revealed. They said that I had to come and believe in a higher power and that he was going to restore me to sanity. And I guess I had to believe that there was some sort of insanity in my life, and I learned that with the first step. You know, I learned like all the unmanageability that happened in my life when I drank, and I also learned that there was unmanageability in my life when I didn't drink, and that was a problem. So how am I going to get better? You know, I can't drink, and I can't not drink. You know, either way, it's going to be hell. And, you know, because drinking was my solution, you know, back before I started drinking, you know, I drank and I had those feelings and it took everything away, took my fears away, took my insecurities away. You know, I felt like a pretty person. I felt likable, popular, whatever it was. You know, everybody has their own reasons, you know, and their own reasons why they drink and the things that it solves. I stopped drinking and things in my life didn't go away, you know, like stuff that we talked about, like character defects, you know. I was a slave to all of them, you know. I was a slave to fear. I was a dishonest person and I had insecurities and I was selfish and all these things didn't go away when I put down a drink. And so that was my unmanageability. And then, you know, it says that that God is going to be able to do that, my higher power, who I call God. And I had to believe that, you know, and I didn't know what it was to believe it when I first went through the steps. I kind of just like, I just wanted to get better, you know. I was just willing to do anything. I'm like, let's just do it. And then we came to step three, and we made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And, you know, for me, that was moving along with the rest of the steps, because in step four, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an inventory. And I'm going to take a personal inventory of everything, all my resentments, everything, and I'm going to see the truth. And I'm going to be able to see where I was dishonest, where I was selfish, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to be able to unblock myself and allow God to restore me to sanity. That's how I'm going to do that, you know, by allowing him in. He can't get in when my life, when I'm just focused on who Michelle was, what I was doing, you know. When I drank alcohol, you know, and when I didn't drink alcohol, I was that person. I needed a psychic change, you know. So we went to step four and then step five, where I sat down and everything was revealed to me. It was revealed to me that, you know, I had a big part. I was to blame. And I still laugh about it because it's so funny. I was so clueless, you know. And then step six, you know, I had to be ready, you know, to ready to and willing and find out my character defects, step six and seven, you know, and then ask God to remove them, take me for good and bad. You know, if I knew in my first year of sobriety and my first time going through the steps, all my character defects, I don't think I would have been able to handle it. I don't think I would have really, you know, I'm kind of happy that, you know, whatever was revealed at the time, because I wanted to know everything, and I wanted to know now, you know. I wanted to get better. I was very fearful. I did not want to drink again, and I was in this program before, and I was in the fellowship, somewhat. I was not in the program. Now I know that the program is in the book. I didn't know that. And I was here, and I went back out, you know, because I didn't do the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't learn about the solution. And I went back out, and it got worse, and it was bad, and I was petrified. I didn't want to go back there. And people were telling me, people were teaching me, and they were saying, Michelle, you know, follow these steps, go through the big book, and, you know, you're going to find a solution, and you never have to drink again. And you never have to worry about obsessions taking over you, and you could be a free woman. And so I went along with that. And I didn't know a lot about me, you know. They're still coming up. They're still coming up today, which is good, you know, because then I could take care of them. We had to make a list of all the people that we harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I had to do that. I had to realize, you know, start being responsible, clean up my side of the street, you know. And in step 9, I started to do that, which brings us to step 10, 11, and 12. And step 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. So now that I did step 4 and step 9, you know, I all those steps, now that I did that, I don't have to go back and do step 4 all over. You know, I can take care of everything as it comes. Okay, so like if I'm selfish or dishonest, I can take care of it right away. I don't have to wait. You know, I have to do that now. Because now I know, and my eyes are open, and I have a new perception in life. So things start creeping up, and things coming up, and I fall off the path, and I start seeing, you know, where I'm going wrong. I can go ahead, and I can do a step 4, a mini step 4, they call it, my sponsor calls it. And I could admit it to my sponsor, you know, this is where I fell short, and make amends when it needs to be made right away. And I need to continue to do this, and I cannot rest on my laurels, because that's where people fall short. Yeah. That's what this program is about. It's about continuing to grow. In step 10 is where I become a free woman, you know? It's where I realize that I am no longer fighting alcohol. I am no longer worrying if I can't be around that gin and tonic, you know? I can't smell that, and I can. You know, as long as my motive is good, as long as I'm going into a place where I am needed and to be of service, because that's what I am about today. I'm about love and tolerance. That is my code. That is what I learned in the big book. And I am going to be of service wherever I am needed. So if I need to be in a place where they're serving alcohol, where there is a drink, I am not going to have to worry about, oh, I might drink. You know, I'm not going to do that because I'm protected. And that's as long as I stay spiritually fit. And that explains it. And that means continuing. Continuing every day to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it, make amends when I need it. And it brings us to step 11. And step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Conscious contact with God, and that is something that I was craving for probably my whole entire life. And while I was drinking and doing drugs and consuming these things in my body, that's what I was really craving for. I was craving for God. I was craving for Him to fill the things that I needed to fill, and I just didn't know how to do it. And I needed my butt kicked. I needed my butt kicked to find out, and I'm lucky because there's so many people out there today who are getting their butt kicked, but they just don't have what I have. You know, some people aren't able to admit and be honest with themselves. And I think that's where I become grateful every day. That's right there. You know, I'm so lucky that I'm able to do this. I'm able to recognize that I need God in my life. He's going to fill everything that I've been lacking. I experience highs better, natural highs, better than I ever felt through a drug or a drink. And they're from natural things in life that everybody should feel. You know, getting the anxiety, the good anxiety about getting a job. You know, new job, oh my God. And it's that feeling that takes my breath away. And then it's topped off with my past experience, you know, my past experience of where I came from and how I asked for help and it was so freely given to me. So I have that combined with now I'm living this life that I never thought I could. And altogether, this is the biggest high I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. And and it's so overwhelming, but I love it. And there's no drug that can take that place. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to. And if I start thinking that I want to go back and there's something in my life that I am not doing. And when I constantly move and, you know, I incorporate these steps in my life, whatever step back I take, I'm able to recognize it. And that's the gift, too. I'm able to see, okay, there's something, you know, it's that, I don't know what it's called. It's that certain gift that you're given to recognize it. Yeah, there we go. So I'm going to sort through prayer and meditation, and I'm going to improve my conscious contact. And I was told that with any relationship, the only way to work on a relationship is communication and time. You spend time with someone to build a relationship. So now I have to spend time with God. And, you know, I was I'm a very antsy person. And, you know, so when I started meditating, it was really a minute at a time. You know, and I would set that timer, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And 1 minute turned into 3 minutes, and 3 minutes turned into 5 minutes, and then it turned into no minutes for a while. And then it went back. Then it turned into 10 minutes, and then no minutes again. And, you know, because I am an imperfect human being, and I'm grateful because then I get the opportunity to keep growing, and that's wonderful, you know, because I would never want to sit here and think that I got this down. I would never want to sit here and be like, oh, there's nothing left to learn, because that's where the beauty comes from it, you know. I get to learn more, and every time I learn and I give myself that chance to learn and I open my mind and I become as humble as I humanly possibly can, it's amazing. It's amazing, and I'm like, what have I been missing out, you know? And so I try to ask God to remove me from me, you know, my ego, my selfishness. It gets in the way all the time, every day, and I need not to have that in my life. So I remember a woman that I know telling me all about a conscious contact with God back at the meetings over at St. William's. And she was telling me how wonderful it was to just sit there and just be in the moment, you know, and realize like what God is putting in your life and appreciate all the beauty that you have. And I'm able to do that now. And it's not all the time, but I have those moments, and I didn't have those moments before. I wasn't able to see it. I remember, you know, just thinking about all the bad things, you know. You could have a whole plate of good things, and that one bad thing, it likes to just take over, you know. And I need to stop. And I say, what's good in my life, you know? And I need to concentrate on that, because that bad thing always wants to take over and you know, occupy all your attention. And I have good things in my life today, and I have things because God put them, and I know that they're gifts. I know that it's a gift from God. I went on an interview. I went on a second interview today, and I got the second interview, and I went on the interview, and I said, this is God. You know, if he wants me to have this job, and this is what my sponsor told me, if he wants you to have this job, Michelle, you're going to have this job. And I started to believe it. And, you know, I put all my faith in it. And I went in there. I'm like, this is a gift. I walked in there. I don't even know what happened. But everyone was happy. We're all happy. And hopefully I'll get a call because of that. So, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all on affairs. So, my spiritual awakening, I believe, is just that psychic change that they talk about. I believe that my spiritual awakening was that now I get to be a spiritual being and recognize that I am a spiritual being, and I also get to recognize that I see life in a completely different way than I used to. And that's what I've gained from this, and now we got to pass it on. I have to pass it on. And I love it because the big book dedicates a whole chapter to letting you know exactly all the things that you may run across. Yeah. And that's wonderful because there's so many questions, you know, and am I doing this right? And, you know, and working with another alcoholic is the best thing. And you know what? It was so freely given to me. And now I'm responsible. You know, if someone walks in this room, and I may be responsible, but I want to. It makes me happy. You know, it gives me everything that I need to be. So when someone wants to go through the big book, it's my honor. It is my honor to give back exactly what was freely given to me. I learned great things from great women and great men in this program. They have so many things to show me. I forever will remain teachable. And I forever will reach out my hand. And if anyone ever wants to go through the big book, I will gladly 100% make time in my life for that. Because, you know, we're all human beings and we all deserve a fighting chance. And it's funny because when I was on the interview, I wanted to just start saying the real reason why I want to become a nurse. And, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, I want to become a nurse. And I so want to say that sometimes, you know, I want to start talking about my spiritual side. And I realize that, you know, sometimes you could do that in other words without have a big mouth. And, you know, I want to say things that, you know, that you can't always say, but, you know, I kept it in. But, you know, going through the steps was amazing. I went through them twice. I went through the big book twice, and I'm about to go starting next Wednesday. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to go through them again. And I can't wait, you know, and it's going to be great. Every time I've gotten a different experience, and it's like a magic book. You know, that's what I call it. Because every time I open it up with another alcoholic, magical things happen. And it never ceases to amaze me. It's beautiful. So I am very honored to have been asked to speak here, and I thank you very much. So let's open it up. All right.